We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise, noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow. You're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use a fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. It's hump day.
What's happening, man?
It's hump day.
Beautiful Wednesday. The sun's coming out. I mean, hey, and then we got to work 4 hours and talk sports.
We got a life. A nice Wednesday ahead. No doubt. And you're right. It is. It's wonderful. I'm thankful for this. I was actually thinking about that driving home yesterday. It's nice to be able to do this job. It's very fun. And then you got guys like you who've had two really cool jobs. How thankful you got to be for that.
Blessed, man.
Yeah,
just blessed,
man. It's a wonderful thing. So with that said, I got frustrations this morning, Randy.
You got wearies.
I got,
wearies.
I'm frustrated. I'm weary.
All that stuff.
All of it. And I'm trying to work through it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm gonna try to maybe get some of your help, some of the listeners' help.
You know I'm a tough love guy now.
I know you are.
Yeah, you
I know.
Yeah,
you're gonna tell me to toughen up.
Tighten up, Buttercup.
Yeah, get it together. Yeah, don't be so worried about it.
But I am anxious to hear what you're worried about, because I kind of know what it is already because we kind of talked about it, but, you know,
don't tell him that.
I didn't give you my opinion, you know.
Well, there's another thing I'm frustrated about, too, that I'm going to add into here, because there's three of them. And I think I'm probably not the only one in the city of Atlanta who's frustrated about these things today. We'll get into what's trending coming up in 20 minutes. Dan Quinn was on with the morning show guys earlier today, as he always is on Wednesdays. We'll play you some of that coming up at 10:40, but there's a number of things that are going on right now that are just beyond our control, understandably. It's been a tough week and a half, we know that. But it just kind of continues to pile on at this point. And I don't care for it particularly. I don't care for the way things are going right now. The way that the Washington Nationals just breezed through the St. Louis Cardinals in four games.
I told you to watch the Nationals.
You did. And they gave up four runs in the entire series, mm-hmm. and now they're going to the World Series for the first time in franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. I don't like that very much.
Yeah.
I don't like that every team in the Braves division has been to the World Series now since the last time the Braves won a playoff game.
Okay.
In 2001, I don't particularly care for that. That's kind of got me annoyed this morning.
Okay.
I don't really like that the Panthers and the Saints are undefeated since their starting quarterbacks got hurt,
mm-hmm.
and the Falcons haven't won a game, even though their starting quarterback isn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that very much.
Okay.
And the way the Falcons season is going has me frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really like that the Rams just went out and traded for one of the best corners in football,
uh-huh.
because they lost three games. And we're going to put our foot down because we don't like the way the season's going. So we're going to actually do something about it.
Yeah.
I respect them for doing that.
Right.
But then I look at the football team that we cover here and we talk about in Atlanta, and what their general manager has done over the last couple of years. And I'm envious. You know, I've had sack envy for a while now with all the way other teams are getting back to the quarterback.
Right.
Now I got trade envy, too.
Well,
because they got general managers that are willing to do stuff to make their teams better immediately. And we're sitting here at 1-5. Hopefully, they'll figure it out.
You sound like a frustrated Atlanta fan.
I'm a beaten down individual.
Yeah, that's what that is right there. Go back to the Nationals thing. I mean, I take my hat off to them, man. They played well, and they did the one thing that if you want to be successful in the postseason, you got to have great pitching. And they had great pitching, all right? They had great pitching. Going back to St. Louis, they took care of business. The Braves peed down their leg. They did. One of your best players is hurt, and when you were talking about this yesterday, I don't know if we did it on air or in the bullpen, and you're talking about, well, the Braves could have beat the Nationals. You sure about that?
No,
You know what I'm saying? The way they were playing, and Freddie's still banged up. We're getting news now that we're hearing that Freddie's going to have some kind of procedure on his elbow or whatever.
Mark Bowman, it was really kind of buried in a Mark Bowman article today on MLB.com where I think it was a mailbag, and he said something about an expected surgical procedure.
Yeah.
He's not saying that it's scheduled or that anything like that. He just says, they're expecting that to happen this offseason to repair the bone spurs. We've expected that too.
Yeah.
It's still not, it's not next Wednesday or something like that, but it was written in Mark Bowman's article today that it's expected that Freddie will have offseason surgery and good. Fix it.
The thing in the NFC South, the frustrating part about it is that when it happened, when Drew went down and when Cam went down, we were all like, okay, that gives the gives the Falcons a chance. But when you talk about not just backup quarterback, it's everything around them that's playing well when you look at Carolina.
Yes.
You got Christian McCaffrey. The wide receivers are playing well. Norv is able to call whatever he wants. The O-line is surprisingly playing well. But to me, the key with the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints, their defensive line is whipping tail.
Yep.
That's what they're doing.
Yep.
Defensively, if you looked at that Tampa game, the violence that the Carolina Panthers defensive line played with, I mean, that was just amazing, and it wasn't just one guy; it was everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Then you look at what's going on in New Orleans. I mean, he's one of the best two-way defensive end in all of football.
Who?
Cam Jordan. Yes, one of the best, and he plays like it. Whenever these two teams, when their backs are against the wall, and they lost their main guy, everybody else raised their game up. If something happened to Matt Ryan, you think everybody would raise their game up?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would think not.
I would think not. Exactly.
I mean, if the game hasn't been raised up yet, with your because your back is against the wall.
Oh yeah,
the wall is basically crumbling.
We do know that a 1-5 team, they did make the playoffs. But me, I told you, I'm not thinking about the playoffs.
Three
teams. I'm talking about recently.
Yeah,
Colts did it last year.
Oh, right.
Just get a win. That's my biggest thing right now. When you talk about the Falcons, just win a game. Win a damn game. And now you got the Rams coming in. Yeah, they traded for Jalen Ramsey. A lot of people think it's too much to give up. I don't.
Me either.
Especially in today's game, when you talk about a premier generational talent at a premier position, that's what Jalen Ramsey is.
Well, I look at it this way. What were those two first-round draft picks and the other draft pick, fourth rounder or whatever it was, doing to make you better this year? How was that helping you win a Super Bowl this year? It wasn't.
But
you might hurt yourself down the road. Maybe
they don't have a first round pick for the next
until 2022.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I mean, but I didn't hear Kirk on with the morning show.
He was good.
But I do kind of think like him that sometimes first round picks can be overrated in today's football, because if you look at what the Rams are doing next year, they're going to have four guys that account for like 50% of their cap. I mean, but the thing about it is you're paying guys who are outside of Jared Goff. You're paying guys who are one or two at their position. You know what I'm saying? Like Aaron Donald might be the best defensive tackle.
He is the best
defensive tackle in football. Todd Gurley was the best running back in football when he got that contract. Brandon Cooks is a top 10 wide receiver in my opinion. So, I mean, you got all these things. And now you got to pay Jalen Ramsey because you didn't trade Jalen Ramsey not to pay him, right?
You wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't think so.
Yeah. You don't give up two first-round draft picks for a rental.
So what you're going to do with him is he's going to be the highest-paid defensive back ever, and so that's going to bring it up more. So you're going to lose guys. But right now what the Rams are trying to do is they're going for it. Now, I don't think they're close to winning because I don't think they can win without a healthy Todd Gurley, because that offense doesn't work without him.
I agree.
Now, with that being said, watch him come in here and put up 500 damn yards.
Oh, but no offense, but what teams do to the Falcons' defense right now is not an indication of what they do to other teams in the NFL. Kyler Murray was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week last week because the Falcons' defense right now is just a turnstile. They're just welcoming teams in and allowing them to do whatever they want to them. All right, we'll get back into that and, again, why it's so frustrating from a Falcons perspective after we give away $1,000.
Loot!
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Grow. Grow. G-R-O-W, grow. You have until 10:59 to text GROW to 72881 from your cell phone. That's 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive, please. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, that word is GROW.
GROW. G-R-O-W.
To 72881.
Nice.
Win you some money.
Yeah. $1,000. A chance at $1,000. 9 after every single hour this week. So be listening very closely. We've got three more $1,000 to give away on today's show alone. Four more $1,000 tomorrow. Four more $1,000 on Friday. Just be listening closely and text in to win. But again, like you look at other teams, and maybe this is going to make the Rams a contender immediately again. Maybe it's not. I think they have a lot of problems, and I agree with you. If Todd Gurley's not healthy, that offense doesn't work the way that it's supposed to work. Whether they come in here and dominate the Falcons or not, I don't know that determines what they're going to do to other teams for the remainder of the season. What I'm frustrated about, and look, maybe we've just gotten to the point of the season with the Falcons where we just want anything to happen, anything positive to happen. I think about Thomas Dimitroff because we spent a lot of time talking about Dan Quinn. I think we're all kind of on the same page with Dan Quinn, right? Like, we wish the season would have gone better, but at this point, I don't know that there's really anything that he can do to save himself outside of winning the next 10 games in a row.
Right.
And that'd be great. I would love it if they did that. It's unlikely that they're going to, so I'm just talking in reality here.
Mm-hmm.
It's likely that Dan Quinn isn't going to be back as the Falcons head coach at this point, unless something drastic happens.
Yeah.
Is that true for Thomas Dimitroff as well?
I think that's the biggest question mark, Andy, because I don't know. Now, if I'm Arthur Blank, I'm cleaning the house, you know. And I mean, that's nothing against Thomas. I mean, it's just time for a new direction. I mean, once one coach is fired and the GM's retained, I think if another one is fired, the GM has to go.
You got to go.
You got to go.
I would think so.
You know
so.
What I'm saying? But I don't. But I'm not 100% sure that that's going to happen. But when Dan was hired for this job, we all thought that, you know, Dan was going to come in and he was going to bring his own guy. He was going to bring somebody from the Seattle front office mm-hmm. with him and run his thing. But then we found out that Thomas was going to be here. Then it was, well, how much control does Thomas have? And, you know, we figured out they came up with the word with co-team building. Well, if both of y'all are team building and this team looks like this.
Yeah, then you're co-fired.
Then you're co-fired.
Yeah.
Because we thought all summer, you know, because we had the expectation that the Falcons were going to be something, that Dimitroff had done his job. He signed Grady.
He signed Julio. He did.
Got all these guys paid and, you know. But my thing with Thomas is this draft has not worked out for you, but this first-round draft is still incomplete because your first overall pick was hurt.
Right.
Is hurt. McGarrity, like, he's getting better. But he's one of those guys learning on the job. Isaiah Oliver. I mean, all these guys that are not panning out right now, wouldn't you put that some – if you're co-building, you'll put some of that on Thomas, right?
I would. Absolutely, I would. I don't know that they're going to, but I absolutely would. Let's just use that thought process, though, as far as Dan Quinn – and maybe not being here, and apply it to Thomas Dimitroff for this question. If it's true that those guys are both going to be gone, does Thomas Dimitroff still have autonomy to do stuff before the trade deadline? Like, are they still actively trying to do anything, whether it's – I mean, because they've got assets on this team that other teams would want.
Yeah, but
– you don't want to give any of them up. I understand that. You love Austin Hooper. You love – you name it. There's players on this team that you want to be here.
Right.
But you might be able to get something in return for them.
Right.
Like if Thomas Dimitroff is a lame duck general manager,
right.
Is he allowed to make trades?
No.
So basically we're doing nothing for the rest of the season.
I didn't say that because we don't know if he's a lame duck GM. That's
I know.
The thing
I'm not
about
saying
it.
That you're
but my
saying
thing,
that.
If you see him start making moves like that, like at the trade deadline, because the thing about it is that, and I keep trying to say this, if you're not mathematically eliminated, you don't make moves at the trade deadline.
Sure.
You don't. You
because
know
trading Austin Hooper doesn't help you today.
You know, it doesn't help you today. And the thing about it, you look at what happened with Jacksonville. Jacksonville, they had to move him. All right? When you get that kind of – now, if you get a nice haul for Austin Hooper or somebody, yeah, you make that move. But, you know, you ain't going to get that haul for
him. I'm interested to see what happens between now and then. If the Falcons keep losing and Thomas Dimitroff makes trades, I wonder if that signals that Thomas Dimitroff is planning to be here, and maybe he's heard that he might be. All right, we'll get to what's trending coming up next, including who Dan Quinn is talking about here.
He's a handful for sure.
Who is a handful, Dan? We'll find out coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, as far as matching and playing guys, you can, you know, check into some man-to-man techniques and how to attack in that way. But certainly a good player and one we've known for a long time. Style and attitude and, you know, what he can bring, especially on the outside.
That's Dan Quinn from earlier this morning with the Morning Show guys. Joins them every single Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We'll let you hear that entire interview coming up in 20 minutes from right now. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy here in What's Trending. Specifically talking about Jalen Ramsey, who is now a member of the Los Angeles Rams as of last night. So Jalen Ramsey is going to be a part of this game on Sunday. And it... Like, I'm not, this is not a complaint about what's going on right now with the Falcons, but it's just kind of a cherry on top, isn't it? Like, of course Jalen Ramsey gets traded to the Rams the week before they play the Falcons. Of course he does. Just to make the game just a little bit more challenging.
That's a great coincidence.
You know what I mean? Going there.
And you know what's also amazing is that I'm assuming that he flew out to L.A. Last night. He's getting his physical today. And, you know, he's been having lingering back issues lately. So,
but I hear it's improving
now. Yeah. You know, but, I mean, that sunshine out there in L.A. could do some things for you. But, yeah, I mean, when people talk about, well, can he get caught up with the system? Okay, this is what Wade Phillips going to tell him. You see that guy number 11? You got him. Now is he going to have to adjust stuff around him as far as those guys? Yeah, but you ain't got to worry about Jalen, number 11, you got him. All right, wherever he goes, you got him. That's what's going to happen.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Is he ready for that?
And who?
Like, can Jalen Ramsey get Julio? Is that something that we need to be concerned about on Sunday? Yeah. Jalen Ramsey's good.
Jalen Ramsey's great.
But
can he guard Julio?
Can he guard Julio Jones all day
by himself? No.
Okay.
No.
That's my question.
No. But the thing about it is, when you have two players of their caliber, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. Because Jalen's going to have some wins against Julio, too. That's how great of a player he is. But, I mean, that's not even a cause for concern right now, is Jalen Ramsey going to the Rams. It's about trying to get after that offense and not letting them, after how they stunk it up last week, not letting them have a get-right game against you defensively. That's what this is all about right here. Two things you got to do. We're 99, you better find a way to stop him. All right, wherever he is, you got to find a way for him not to wreck the game by himself.
Yes.
And then the other time, you got to affect their quarterback. Because if he sits back there, and as bad as their O-line is, if he sits back there, and with those three receivers and that damn tight end, you have a lot of problems.
Is that a way to deliver a message if you're trying? Because, look, I mean, at this point, Dan Quinn is trying to find motivators from anywhere that he can possibly find things. Is it a fair motivator to say to your defense, don't be the get-right game for every team on your schedule? Look at the last 4 week games you've played and what these teams have done against you. Yeah, some of them have been good teams, but you still don't have to allow Deshaun Watson to have the best game of his life against you.
Right.
I understand that you're playing against a young athletic quarterback in Kyler Murray, but he was an NFC Offensive Player of the Week because of what he did against you.
I got it. Like,
Marcus Mariota got benched for Ryan Tannehill, who's bad at quarterback.
And we got that story in our NFL No Huddle coming up at 11 o'clock. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Marcus Mariota looks like trash the last two games.
Because he's not good.
Bad. But against you, he looked amazing. He looked like the number two overall pick.
He did.
And that's what's so frustrating about it. I looked at the sack totals. The Rams have given up 12 sacks. Get a half. Do, like you said yesterday, you don't got to be lights out. You ain't got to be the Baltimore Ravens defense of when Ray Lewis there. Just make a play. You know what I'm saying?
There was a play on Monday Night Football between the Packers and the Lions, and I think it was Matt Stafford who just mishandled a snap and then had to fall on it, and somebody for the Packers got in the backfield and touched him, and that guy got a sack. Like, he didn't really do anything. He didn't really win a battle. Didn't have a great move. It wasn't like some amazing spin move or something like that. Matt Stafford just fumbled a snap, fell on it, and somebody touched him. You get a sack for that. I mean, Vic Beasley got a couple sacks a couple years ago where a quarterback was scrambling and he touched him out of bounds.
Yeah.
1 yard loss.
Yeah.
But still a sack. I don't need a quarterback, and I would like it if you touched the quarterback.
I want him touched.
I want that.
Yeah.
But let's start with just get one of those cheapies. Because they haven't even got a cheapie the last couple of weeks.
Like,
they've literally got, like, zero sacks.
Get you a Michael Strahan or something.
Yeah, get you a Strahan on Brett Favre.
Yeah, like, the center steps on his foot, he falls down,
yes,
and he lands on him.
Something.
Yeah, something.
Anything to get the floodgates open. And I don't know that they're floodgates, but anything to get something happening, some sort of positive momentum. Because, like Matt Ryan told us earlier in the week, Randy, there's no momentum like momentum. The Falcons got no momentum right now.
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, the one thing you don't know what it's going to be like is that, you know, we always talk about the crowd noise. You don't know what it's going to be like in there Sunday. Dude, you got to – and if you're not self-motivated by just playing on Sunday and playing against another football team, then it don't matter who's in that stadium, because you already know lost. Because I know that, you know, that somebody will complain about it, and we know who's going to complain about being in your seats and all that. Man, damn that, man. Just go and play. Whoever's out there, if ain't nobody in that stadium, and it's just y'all two teams, no referees, no nothing – you go out there and try and win a football game.
In fact, maybe prepare as if you expect no one to be in the stadium. And then when the 20,000 people that show up actually do show up, then you'll be pleasantly surprised.
And give them something to cheer about.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Give them something to cheer about early. Speaking of the team that's coming in, Dan Quinn spoke about Todd Gurley.
You know, Gurley, obviously, you know, is the one that can make the whole thing go. When he gets out, in, you know, onto the next level on a linebacker or a safety, He's got the ability to jump cut and make a guy miss, and that's why he's had so many explosive runs. So he's a handful for sure.
He is.
Yeah.
Is he going to play?
That's the thing about it. Is he going to play? Because if he's playing, that adds another dimension. Now, he looked good 2 weeks ago.
He did.
I mean, he looked better, I'll say.
Better.
Yeah. He looked better.
He didn't look like Todd Gurley.
Yes, but he got 15 carries, a couple other catches and everything. That's what he brings to this offense. That's why people all, I said it yesterday, when people all talk about how spread out, they always run 11 personnel and all that. But it's still built around a downhill run game that's led by Todd Gurley. And when they don't have that element, they struggle. That's why I said, don't let this be the get-right game for those backs that struggle. Don't let Jared Goff look the way he looked last year in this football game, because if you can make them one-dimensional, which is a lot easier without Todd Gurley, that's what San Francisco did. They made it one-dimensional.
Right.
And then even though they had maybe 3 sacks last week against the Rams, but they harassed him all day long. They harassed Jared Goff all day long.
So do you buy that what Todd Gurley is dealing with right now is the specific, like the leg injury, the quad that they're talking about? Or is this go back to what was going on in the playoffs last year?
Oh, man.
And it's some sort of, because it was reported that he had like degenerative arthritis or something like that. His knees.
And you know what? And to be honest with myself, probably back in February when I first started hearing about this, I said, nah, he'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because I saw the one run against Dallas that he just like looked like Todd Gurley, had the long run. And then he just looked like a shell of himself. And that's why I kept saying, is it something, a meniscus, something torn or whatever? But he's not himself. And when you invest that kind of money in a running back, and he's, what, 25 years old?
He's
and
so young.
You're talking about already degenerative knee?
Yeah.
That's not a good sign, man.
No,
that's
it's not.
It's not a good sign.
Well, I mean, there's two running backs playing in this game on Sunday that are arguments for not paying running backs big contracts. And look, Devontae Freeman earned his money.
He did.
So did Todd Gurley.
He did.
I'm not sitting here begrudging them for getting their money. Good for them for getting their money. I'm glad they did, because it's going to be even more difficult for running backs to get the money because of them. Like, because you look at Todd Gurley and say, oh, we gave him this massive deal, and then immediately the wheels fell off, because that's what happens to running backs. It's awful. I hate it. I hate that the running back market has become what it's become. But you look at these two guys and you understand why people say you don't pay running backs that type of money.
Here's the kick now. The pitch, fastball, is hit in the air to left center field. Robles calling for it. He's under and waiting. And he makes the catch! He makes the catch! Bang! Zoom go the fireworks! A National League Championship winning Curly W is in the box! And for the first time since 1933, we'll have a World Series in the nation's capital! The Nationals celebrate to the left of the mound. The World Series to begin next Tuesday night. Unbelievable.
All right. Charlie Slows of National Radio enjoying his moment there.
He was enjoying that, wasn't he?
And good for him. It's a wonderful moment for them, whatever. Curly W and all that sort of stuff. It hurts.
What's better?
It hurts.
What's better, though? Is the celebration after in baseball with the champagne better than the one in the NBA?
Hmm.
I know the Heat looked funny. You know, Chris Bosh made the pose and everything, which was hilarious.
Yes.
But them dudes were going in last night, man.
Yeah.
They were going in.
I don't know. That's a great question. The best celebrators?
Yeah.
It seems like baseball
because
players.
They get so many of them.
Yeah. They get to do it three or four times.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you clinch, you win the first round, you win the CS, then you go to the World Series. If you win, you get to have four different. But like, do you turn it up more and more every single time?
Yeah, man.
Because imagine this. Like, maybe the only slight silver lining of the Braves not winning is the liver health of Josh Donaldson.
Yeah.
Because Josh Donaldson
gets it in.
Got after it when they clinched. Yeah. If they would have won the first round, if they would have won the we're going to the World Series.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what Josh Donaldson would have done if they won the World Series.
But JD looked like he drank hot whiskey.
Well, he looks like he can handle it.
He looked like he drank hot whiskey and chased it with warm buds or something like that. You know, that's just what he looks like. But
hot whiskey and warm what?
Warm bud.
Oh, like my dad.
Yeah, like your pops.
You know, my dad won't drink whiskey.
He won't?
Yeah, when he was.
Well, your dad don't drink liquor, does
he? No, I don't drink liquor.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I tried to get when he was staying with me. I tried to get him to have one. He wouldn't do it. Anyway, the warm Budweisers were evaporating, though. Yeah. He puts those down with no problem.
Whatever. Hey, guys, you've been hearing us talk about our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament that's going to go on next Wednesday at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Spring. It's benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. They're going to be celebrities. You're going to get a chance to bowl with one of us, one of the celebrities, everything. For the ticket info, go to the events page at 929game.com. But you can also, when you show up there, you can also register when you get there. There'll be a 2-game bowling tournament with trophies, prizes, including a $1,000 grand prize to the top bowling team. I think there's somewhere we're going to have courtside tickets to a Hawks game for the top scorer. So just make sure y'all come out, hang out with the guys. We'll be there having a good time.
It's a week away.
A week away, baby.
We're a week away from the bowling tournament. Very much looking forward to it. All right, we'll come back. We'll let you hear what Dan Quinn had to say to the morning show earlier today and react to it as well right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on Radio.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday, 20 minutes away from the NFL No Huddle, where we will get into a number of different topics, including Jalen Ramsey being traded to the L.A. Rams, who, oh, by the way, the Falcons play on Sunday.
Crazy.
We'll also react to what Dan Quinn had to say to the morning show earlier this morning. He joins them every single Wednesday at 7 o'clock, because we're going to listen back to that interview right now together. How does that sound? Sound good? Everybody gather up. Everybody circle up. We're going to listen to what Dan Quinn had to say to John and Hugh earlier today, and they started out by asking him, how are you going to fix this pass rush?
No stats look good right now, Hugh. I'll say this. Here's how we get there and how we do it, you know, and you know this too. So let's make sure the hits and the hurries, that those are turning into sacks. And how do you do that? Man, a lot of coordination, making sure you're on the right level to rush. And so if you're running a pass rush game that goes, right onto the contained space of it, how do we trap a quarterback in the pocket? So those are the things that we're going to work hard at practice. To move the guy is one thing. To hit him is another thing. But you got to get this guy on the ground, and that's how you can play really good third down defense. And I know you and everybody's seen, there's been some times you get him to move, and then there's a completion on third down. And so when the second play begins and a quarterback gets outside the pocket, those are difficult. And so that's what we got to make sure is make a guy stay in the pocket, make him remain as a passer, and allow these hits to turn into sacks. So it's a must for sure. The number one stats we're thinking about, brother, are takeaways and eliminating explosive plays. You know that. But one of the ways you get takeaways is hitting this QB, and that has to go down.
When you talk about some of the issues that this defense is having right now, Coach, is it more so the front as far as the defensive line play, or is it on the back end that's having the biggest issue defensively?
Well, I think the thing you look at and what we did first is, where are explosive plays coming? And like most things, and you're playing team defense, it involves everybody. And so how do you improve on that, whether it's the communication piece to say, why does a mental error occur where, you avoid an area, where you shouldn't. Those are things, man, you keep drilling, you keep working to get it right until you can't get it wrong. And so collectively, that's the mindset, Hugh, because if there had been just one thing, that had been, where we had one issue, that's easy to do it. But doing it right over and over, not 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, but all the time. And so that's what we're going to work to do. That's what we'll get done. But I wouldn't say it's, a front or a back end issue. When you're playing good team defense, everybody's responsible for playing at our best. And so that's how we approach it for sure.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with John and Hugh ahead of the game against the Rams on Sunday. Matt Bosher was on the afternoon show yesterday talking about the fact that the locker room is still kind of – everybody's still on the same page here. Do you get a sense at all that there's any problem in the messaging between you and the players at this point? A 1-5 start, that can start to get lost, right?
Well, I think that's, what you're always looking for, to make sure that you stand up when adversity hits and go. And I think you guys have been around the teams enough to know – what the group of men in the locker room are made of and who this group is. So frustrated, upset, yeah, just like, fans and everybody else. But what we also know is, they're all about it. And so that's the part that they want to do to find the answer to get it right when you're, this close and you're still missing the mark. Those are the things that you have to dig deeper to find what you can improve on to get there. And there's no doubt this group will do that. But all you do, man, just throw everything into these 4 days, to this preparation for this team, and then that's all. So just this week, just this moment, just this game, and that's how you have to approach it. But message-wise, they're all frustrated. They want it badly, and they care a ton. So that's why the frustration gets there. And now we have to make sure, let's turn the frustration into some action and get our game like we want.
Coach, there's no question that this team is frustrated and guys are playing hard. But is this an issue of execution or talent? Are these guys good enough to get the job done that you're trying to get done?
Yeah, there's in my opinion, there's no doubt. It's going to be about our execution, and that's why it's the smallest one. So you can feel like you'd be off by just a little bit on a thing, and then after a week or two, you're off. And you're trying to do something else to make a play because you felt like you were off, and so it's like such an important time, man. Like, be really rock solid on what you're doing, and you don't have to, you know, cover for another person, but, man, the communication, team, defense. And really what I'm looking for is, you know, for us to put all three phases together and feed off one another and that energy that comes with that. So no doubt about it. You know, we've got to get our execution on point, and that's what we intend on doing.
Talking with Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons, ahead of the game against the Rams. You and I were talking before you got on, Coach, and we were discussing about the fact that, you know, it's interesting that at the beginning of the year, but when we looked at the schedule and saw how backloaded it was, that all of the division games were after the bye week in the second half of the season, six of the final eight games, and we were kind of bemoaning that because it's, we said, oh, that's brutal. But the brutal turns out, in a way, oddly, to be a benefit because you haven't played a division game yet. And so that's still in front of you. And, you know, if the team does get hot, that's the only way that, you know, right now at 1-5, you're thinking maybe the only way you make the playoffs is just kind of run that division.
Yeah, I think the main thing is right now we all recognize there's no margin for error. And so that's the thing that, you know, you just throw it all into this opponent. When you dig yourself in a hole and your backs are against the wall, man, you bare your teeth and you go after it. And that's what we intend on doing because when you're into that space and you fight with your back against the wall, that's usually when you're at your best. And so that's, you know, like I said, just this week, just this moment, and then we'll take it from there. But I think knowing what's out there, no margin for error, and, you know, that to me is the big message, you know, for the guys, and let's get that part of our game right, and then we'll after the bye and all those things. But right now it's just about this game.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Coach Dan Quinn. Coach, there were some real lofty expectations for this team at the beginning of the season. Are those expectations still in play for you?
Yeah, 100%. And so, like, that's why we do what we do, you know. Like, it's in these moments that you push and test yourself because you know you'll come out the other end. It'll be, you know, good to do that. But expectations of who we are, no, that's always going to be the same. And so that's why late down the line, you can't do anything about those. And so all you can do, man, is go attack it for this game. And you can't look too far down the line or what we should be. What do we do now? And that's kind of the message I want to make sure I'm continuing to hit with the teams and the fans and everybody. Like, man, let's throw it all into this game, this moment, and you know, then you can build. But you have to throw it into this game first.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Coach Dan Quinn. Coach, you got a little monkey wrench thrown to you this week. Jalen Ramsey potentially could play this weekend. How does that change your preparation for the L.A. Rams?
Well, I think what you look for, and especially from the wide receiver to the DBs, Hugh, and kind of like for you as a defensive end, who is the matchup you're going against? You want to see, you know, how a certain DB is going to play in man-to-man. In the zone stuff, as a receiver, you don't have control over that. How will they feature him in the defense? You don't have control over that. But you know they'll play some man-to-man, and what does that technique look like? Because that'll stay consistent from his time during Jacksonville to now. So you can pick through some of the things, you know, from the past that looks like that. But then after that, you got to assume, you know, he's just part of the scheme and part of what they're doing. But, you know, as far as matching and playing guys, you can, you know, check into some man-to-man techniques and how to attack in that way. But certainly a good player and one we've known for a long time, style and attitude and, you know, what he can bring, especially on the outside.
That was Dan Quinn from earlier this morning. The morning show with John and Hugh joins him every single Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We'll come back and get to an NFL no-huddle, react to some of what Dan Quinn told us, as well as the big trade that actually impacts the Falcons on Sunday. Jalen Ramsey, now a member of the Rams. Did they give up too much to get him? We'll get to all that and more coming up next in the NFL No Huddle right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.